Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Yesterday we finished off the daf with a question from Rabbo. Rabbi asked, "A zarak tinok marosh agag yesterday, the baby was thrown off the roof, and then a human came and caught it on his sword. What would be the din of the person that caught the baby on the sword and killed the baby?" So Rabbi said that will be defined by the plukta of Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira and the Rabbanon, the machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira and the Rabbanon. There they disagree as to whether someone can be held accountable for another's death when they are the last person to touch them before they die. I mean, if you're the one who gives the makat misa, you're the one who gives the hit that puts them to death, are you responsible or not? Chachamim say no, that the person has to kill them in their entirety. They can't be the sole reason, they can't be joint or partner with others in the death, and it would be patur. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira says, if you're the last one, then you are mekarev mitato, and you are chayav. Now the Gemara continues with the case on the Taf of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, bashor vikiblo bikarnav. Instead of it being caught by a human on a sword, it actually, a shor comes and catches the baby by killing it on its karen, on its horns. So Gemara says, that's plukto der bishmol benosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka v'Rabbanon. This machlokas, or what the din will be over here, will be determined by the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel benosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbanon. They argue about the din of kofar. The din of an animal that kills a human being is that the owner must pay kofar to compensate the individual who was killed. He gives it the money to the family. The question of the kofar, when you pay kofar, how do we assess the kofar that you pay? Is the kofar assessed by the value of the person that was killed? I mean, that the shor that killed the individual, we look at the individual who was killed, we assess their value, and that's the amount of kofar that the owner of the shor must pay. Or do we say that the kofar is actually to redeem the individual himself, whose money, whose mammon, whose shor went ahead and killed, and therefore the kofar he pays is actually the value of the mazik himself, and that's the amount of kofar he pays to the family of the person that had passed away. So that machlokas is here. The Tanya, we have a brisa, but not on pidyon nafsho. He has to give pidyon nafsho. He has to pay kofar. The Psukim Mishpatim says that an animal or shor that comes along and kills an individual, a human being, he has to pay pidyon nafsho. He has to pay kofar for that death. Demei nizak. Right, that is the Demei Nizak, the one who was killed. You paid the value, the assessed value of the one who was killed, and that's the kofar that the owner of the shor must pay. On the other hand, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Amar Demei Mazik, that we assess the amount of kofar, the money that he has to pay in this instance, is based on his own value, the owner of the shor's value, because he's trying to redeem himself. He's not paying for the death, but rather he is paying for his kapara, and only the kapara he has to give a pidyon nafsho, he has to give that of himself. So this machlokas will determine what the din is here with the shor that catches the baby. The baby that is tossed off the roof now, when it's coming down, the baby is worthless at this point. It has no value, because the end game for this baby is to hit the ground. The impact on the ground will kill the baby. So at this point, the baby is worthless. So if you believe that v'nantian pidyon nafsho, that the kofar that you pay is based on the demei nizak, the value of the one that is killed, the one that is damaged, then over here, when the shor catches the baby, he caught a worthless baby. At that point, the baby was valueless, about to land on the ground, he catches it and kills it, then the kofar that the owner of the shor must pay would be nothing, because the baby was worthless. On the other hand, if you believe that the kofar that the individual, the owner of the shor, pays is the mazik, the one who's doing the damage, then over here, the owner of the shor is still around, he's still valuable, and his value he will pay as the kofar, and therefore he will pay kofar even in this instance. Even though the baby's worthless, still the kofar is determined by the mazik, the owner of the shor, and the owner of the shor, whatever value he has, that's the kofar that he will pay. Vama Rabba. Rabba introduced another case here. Nafal mi rosh hagag. An individual falls off the roof. In this case, where he fell off the roof, v'nitka b'isha, and he lands on a woman, and in landing on this woman, he somehow penetrates into the woman. So the Gemara says he's chayav b'dal dvarim. He's chayav in all four aspects of the nezek over here. Uvimto lo kana. But when it comes to Zivama, he's not kone. So why is this? He's chayav benezek, bitzar, beripoy, ubishevet. He's chayav in these things. The nezek, the pain, the ripoy, the doctor's bill, the shevet, the unemployment. He's chayav for all of them. Aval boshet, lo. But when it comes to embarrassment, he is not chayav over here. The tnan, we have a mishnah, enu chayav ala boshet, ad sheim itkavin. That you're not chayav for boshet until you intend to do damage or intend to cause busha over here. So that case over here is an individual is up on a roof, and a ruach mitzuya comes. A normal wind comes along and blows him off the roof. So he's really a karav of the mezid in this instance, because he didn't take proper precaution to prevent himself from falling off the roof. Therefore, when he falls off the roof and lands on the woman, he's responsible for all the damage and all the altercations that come from his falling on this woman. That's Nezek, Tzar, Ripui, and Shevet. What he is not chayav for is Boshet. Why? Because we just said that Boshet requires one either to be Nitkaven Hazik, to have intention for doing damage, which is obviously not the case. Over here, he was blown off a roof and landed on the woman. That was his intent to cause damage. And number two, or Nitkaven Levayesh, or he intended to be Mevayesher, which obviously in this case is not the case either, because, again, his fall was unintentional, and therefore he'll be Patur for Boshet. The one issue that we have to discuss is even Matolo Kana. We know that then by Yivama is that a person is kone his Yivama, right? Any type of bia that he has with his Yivama, he's kone. He acquires his Yivama through that. So over here too, here he has bia with the woman, and why shouldn't he be kone his Yivama? So Rashi points out that there's a clear distinction in this case versus the cases that the Gemara Yivamot discusses. Gemara Yivamot discusses, for instance, a case where a person thinks he is having bia with one woman, and it turns out in the end that it's his Yivama. In that case, he's koneher. Why is he koneher over here, over there? Because in the case in Yivamot, he intended to have bia. Over there, in all the cases in Yivamot, where we say, but it's ones, beratzon, b'shogeg, b'meizid, no matter how he has bia with his Yivama, he's koneher. In all these cases, he intends to have bia. May not be with this Yivama in particular, may not be with this woman, but in the end, his true intent was to have bia, and when he has that, he's koneh his Yivama. In our case, our instance over here, he doesn't have any, he's missing even the intent to have bia, and since he's missing that intent to have bia, that cannot be koneh for him his Yivama. So since he doesn't have kavanah for bia, he will not be koneh his Yivama. On the other hand, he will be, because he's a karov of the mezid over here, because he fell off the roof of the Ruach Mitzuyah, he will be responsible for Nezek, Tzar, Ripui, and Shevet. Boshet, he will be patur, because he was not nitkaven lehazik. So now, we have Rabba gives another case. Nafal mirosh agach beruach she'ena mitzuyah. As opposed to the case before, where he's blown off in a normal wind, in a normal course of a day, then he's karov the mezid because he should have anticipated such a wind. Over here, we have a case where he's blown off the roof in an unusual and extraordinary wind, which he shouldn't have anticipated. Beziku bayesh, and he was mezik, and he was he embarrassed someone. Ruach she'ena mitzuyah is chayav al nezek because Adam is chayav. No matter what, Adam muad olam is chayav b'shogeg ba'ones b'rotzon. Any type of case is chayav. Patur midal dvarim, as we learned on the previous daf, that when it comes to the Dalad Dvarim, you're only chayev in the Dalad Dvarim when you're either a mezid or karav lemezid. Over here, it was Ruach Shein Mitzuyah, so he's either a shogeg or an ones, and therefore he will not be culpable for the Dalad Dvarim. On the other hand, if he was blown up, Ruach Mitzuyah, Veziku Bayesh, he did damage and he caused embarrassment. Chayav b'dal dvarim. First of all, he's chayav b'dal dvarim because now he's a kar of the mezid. It was a regular way wind. He should have anticipated it, and therefore he's a kar of the mezid. So he'll be chayav for the dal dvarim, and he'll be chayav for nezek. He's potter ala boshet. On the other hand, he is potter for the embarrassment that he caused. Vim net hapech. If in the air he does a somersault, he flips over, he is chayav. So the understanding here of Nita Pich means that he intentionally flipped himself over so that he would land on this individual. Chayav afal boshet. Then he would be chayav even for the embarrassment that he caused. D'tanyo, kuzeva b'ris, mimash mishnemer v'shilchayada. Right, this is a case in the Torah where two men are fighting, and then one of the men's wives jumps in to protect her husband, and she protects her husband by grabbing the private parts of the individual. So in the pasuk says v'shilcha yada, she stuck her hand out. Any odea shechazika, right? It says v'shilcha yada v'chazika b'mivushav, that she stuck her hand out, hit him in his private parts, and grabbed onto his private parts. We already know they stuck her hand out. Of course, we know that she grabbed a hold of him. So ma tom lomar v'chazika. What does that come to teach us? Lomar lacha kevin shnitkaven hazik. As long as you intend to damage, afal pi shelo nitkaven levayesh. Even though you don't intend to embarrass, that nevertheless you are chayav. So all that requires to be chayav and boshes is kavanah lehazik. It does not require kavanah levayesh. So here in this instance also, when he flips over, and he's intending to land on this individual and to cause that damage, he'll be culpable for the boshet, even though he didn't intend to embarrass, but because he intended to be mazik, that's enough to make him also culpable for the busha in this instance. Now we have another case, which is Amar Rabba. Heniach lo gechelet alibo umeit patur. Person puts a gechelet, a coal, on another individual's heart, on their body, and then the person dies, he is patur for that. Al bigdo v'nisraf chayav. He places it on his clothing and it burns, then he is chayav. Why is this? Because when it comes to the individual, we can say to him, this person's a bardat. He has a coal lying on him. He should get up and shake the coal off. He shouldn't die because he's responsible to take care of his own body. He should remove the coal from himself. The other hand, when he places on his ksuto, when he places on his clothing, right over there, he doesn't have, he say, I can go to Beis Din. I can go collect the money from Beis Din. I don't need to take the coal off here. I can wait for it to burn down, and then I'll take him to Beis Din. I'll get my money back. Samaravo tarvayo tananine. That we learn both of these are in Tanaic works. We learn there's alibo, the case where you place the coal on his lave, ditznan. We have a Mishnah, kavash alav the tocha or ole tocha mayim. So a person who was caught in water or in a fire, and another one prevents their ability to exit from that area, and the person dies because of that prevention of exit. And he dies because of that, you are chayav. The one individual is chayav because he prevented the other individual from escaping. Had he been able to escape, he would have been alive. The other individual prevents him from escaping. Now he's culpable for that death. On the other hand, someone pushes somebody into a fire, into a water, into a pool, and he has the ability to get out. I mean that nobody's preventing him from getting out. He has the ability to get out. And nevertheless, he drowns or he's burnt. Patur. Over there he's patur because here's a bar das, has the ability to protect himself, take himself out of the situation of danger. And if he doesn't do such, then the one who put him into that situation is not going to be chayav. It's the responsibility of the individual to take care of this. So too in our case by Rabbo, he'll be patur when he puts the coal on the person's heart because he should have removed it. Big Do, the case of Beged, is also a case that we have tonight. We have in a Mishnah. Why? Karet ksuti shaveret kadi. Right? The person says to me, go ahead, tear my clothing or break my kad, chayav. He's still responsible. If you go ahead and listen to this individual and tear his clothing or break his kad, then you still have to pay with him. He says, listen, I gave you permission to tear them or break them, but I didn't say you're going to be patur. You're going to have to pay the money for him. Amanat liftor. On the other hand, if he says, go ahead and tear the clothing, go ahead and break my kad, and you will be patur. I will not hold you accountable over here. Then he is patur. So we see over here, again, the case where a person puts the coal on the begadim of the other individual, and the coal burns through the begadim. He is responsible. We don't say to him that he should have taken it off the clothing. We don't say he should have removed it over here. And therefore, he will be chayav. Because even in a case where he gets full permission to tear it, nevertheless, he's chayav. So certainly a case where he didn't have permission, he puts the coal on, he's going to be responsible. Tosfos over here makes a point. He says maybe you could differentiate the cases. And therefore, Tosfos comes to the conclusion that it's obvious to the Gemara that when it comes to a coal on a person's body, he must remove it. When it comes to a person having coal on their clothing, there's no havamina that the Gemara has that you have to remove it. You can let it burn through and then take him to court and ask him for money. So what's the chiddush over here? What's the chiddush Rambam is coming to teach us or from the Mishnah? The chiddush is that we don't say that his shtika, his standing silently there, is acquiescence to what he's doing. I mean, just the fact that he places the coal and lets it burn down and he stands there silently, it doesn't mean that he says, okay, that's fine what you're doing. He doesn't have to show that he doesn't like it. He doesn't have to speak up or throw it off. But rather, he can wait and say, listen, I'm taking you to din. And that is the chiddush of the Mishnah or Rabbah over here, which is that we don't say that his shtika is kehoda or acquiescence to this burning. Now, by Rabbah. Rabbah asks a final question here. Hiniach kechelet alev avdov. He places a coal on the heart of his Evid. Now, this is where reading according to Rashi. Places on the heart of his Evid. Mahu. What's the din? Kugufo damu. Dami. Oh, kimamono dami. How do we view an Evid Kanani? Is an Evid Kanani his money? Meaning because he's acquired and he's traded like property, and therefore he becomes like the mamon of the Baal. And therefore, if he burns, he can say, listen, if it burns, it burns. If it doesn't burn, it doesn't burn. I can go to court. We can collect the money afterwards. It's not a problem. Or do we say it's kugufo dami? Do we say that a Evid Kanani has a din of a human being? Meaning in the sense that if he gets hurt, if he's killed, one is culpable for that. So over here too, when he places the coal on it, right, then it's kugufo dami, and he has the coal, when the Evid has the ability to shake the coal off, right, then he won't be responsible. Imtim Salomar kugufo dami, according to Rashi, now that means that if you place the coal on his body, he will be responsible to shake it off. And therefore, you'll be patur in this instance, right? As opposed to the other option, which was that it was mimono. If it's his money, he can treat it like his money, and then say, let it burn, and then we'll pay back the money afterwards. Shiro mahu. What's the din of a shor? Right? Hadar pashta. He ended up answering this. Avdoku gufo. When it comes to his evid, as a din of guf, and we expect the evid to shake off the coal, and therefore he won't be responsible if he burns his evid. On the other hand, the shoro kimimono. When it comes to his shor, that is like his money. Well, obviously it is his money, but we don't expect, we don't have an expectation of the shor that he's going to shake the coal off, that the shore, when it has a coal in it, he might let it just burn through the shore. And therefore, if he does that and leaves the coal in it, we say he's responsible for the damage that is done over here. That's the way Rashi learns of it. Now, Tosfos says that the case over here must be a case that is she'eved kafut. It's a case where the eved is tied up over here, and now another individual, a third party, comes and places the coal on the eved. V'ramo omeid etzlo. And his owner is standing there looking over his eved, right? And now, it's Mari Shalomet Eved, cases where the eved does not die, Elohuzak, but he came damaged. And this is what his suffix is, Shema, maybe we say that the Rav does not have to worry about taking the coal off his eved. Why? Because he just say, it's my mamon, you'll pay me for whatever damage you do to my eved, you're going to end up paying to me. Oh no, do we say that the eved, we treat the eved like gufo, meaning that it's a din of a goof of a human being, and the Adon, the Rav, is obligated to remove the coal from the eved. Any damage that's done, therefore, will not be paid by the mazik, but rather by the adon who didn't remove the coal. He should have removed the coal. And to that, the Gemara answers that kufo, that avdo is kugufo. His eved is like a goof, meaning that he is a human being, and therefore it's the responsibility of the adon or the rav to remove the coal from the eved. Right, that's the end of the perek. Now we'll begin the new perek. The new perek begins, Amniach et akad birushut rabim. Someone leaves his barrel, he leaves his pitcher in the middle of the Rishut HaRabim. Someone comes in, trips over it, v'shavra, and he breaks it, patur. The person who tripped over and broke the kad is patur for that. V'im huzak, the person who fell over this kad got damaged by falling over this kad. Balachavit chayav v'nisko, then the person who left his pitcher, his barrel in the Rishut HaRabim, is going to be responsible for his nezek. So now, right now, the Gemara is going to go on actually on a sidebar and discuss the structure of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the Mishnah began, patach b'kad, the Mishnah begins at Miniach et Akad, yet at the end of the Mishnah it says Vihim Huzakba Balachavit Chayav. So we started with the word pitcher, kad, and we ended up with chavit, with barrel. So why does the Mishnah start talking about someone who left a kad and then end with somebody talking about a chavit? Vitna Nami. Well, this is not just a single occurrence here. This actually is pervasive throughout the Mishnayot in this Masechta. Vitna Nami. Zeba b'chavito, v'zeba b'koroto. One person is carrying a barrel. One person is carrying a board. Nishbar kadosh zeh b'koroto shel zeh. This under individual, his kad, his pitcher broke with the board of the other one, patur. So again, this Mishnah is patak b'chavit, began with a chavit, which is, right, a barrel, v'sayim b'kad, and then it says that the kad got broken. So again, it changes from a chavit, this is the opposite way, it changes from a chavit to a kad. V'tanan nami, I mean, additional Mishnah, zeba b'chavito shel yayin, v'zeba b'kado shel dvash. One individual is coming with a barrel of wine, the other one's coming with a pitcher of dvash, nistaka chavit shel dvash, right, then the dvash breaks the chavit, the barrel in which the dvash is, breaks. V'shavach zeh yeino. So the other guy pours out his wine because the dvash is worth more. V'tzilat dvash and saves the dvash. L'tocho. Ein lo scharo. He only gets paid like a wage earner here. But again, here, the Mishnah patach b'kad. At first he was carrying a kad, meaning that was a kad of dvash, a pitcher of dvash. And then the Mishnah says, oh, he helps to catch the siyam b'chavit. He says, well, niska chavit, that the chavit, the barrel of dvash, broke. So why, again, are we starting with chavit, ending with kad, or starting with kad and ending with chavit? Seems to be a pervasive problem throughout this Masechta, that we're Mishnayot in the middle seems to switch between kad and chavit, between pitchers and barrels. Samar of Papa, Rav Papa says the reason that these Mishnayot all switch one to the other is Hainu Kad, Hainu Chavit. They're interchangeable words. They're synonymous. Kad and Chavit are the same thing. My nafkamino, what's the difference? The mekach u'memkar has to do with transactions, with business transactions. Hey chidami, what's the case? Ilema ba'atru dekada lo kari chavit v'chavit lo kari kada. If it's in a place where they don't interchange the words, but they don't call it kad, a pitcher, a chavit, a barrel, or barrel, a pitcher, they don't interchange the words, alo kari lo. What's the question here? Why should it be you allowed to use the word synonymously if they don't mean the same thing here? Lo, so it must be a case. Sricha deruba kari lo kada kado. Most people in the city call a kada kad and a chavit a chavit. V'ikanami, but there is a minority of the city, the kari lo chavita kado, the kada chavita. There's a minority of the city that interchanges the words or switches the words around, and because of that, mao detema. What would I have thought? Zitil batel ruba, that we should go after the rov. I mean, since the rova people call them by their proper name, then we demand that everyone to call them by their proper name. Kamash Malon, the Gemara says the conclusion from us is the Ein Hochim B'Mamon Achar Rov. When it comes to monetary matters, we don't go after the rov. We don't go after the majority. What we'll determine over here is each individual and not the rov. So Tosfos points out of here that there's a chiddush in our Mishnah. There are two chiddushim in our Mishnah. That is that we need both of them. Who will get the upper hand here? That's the individual who is in the position of being the muchzak. So what's that geshim? Itno letin lo kad, if he agrees to tell him a kad, hikno lo b'sudar. And he acquired it with a sudar, v'nitchayev alokeach litein damim. So now the buyer has to pay. The mocher is the one who is what? Given over property already. He already let the kinyan take place with the kinyan sudar, and the buyer is holding on to the kad right now. And now the buyer has to pay money. He can say, listen, when you said the word kad, I really thought you meant chavit, and I'm not paying you until you give me a chavit. Because he is the one with the upper hand here. We don't go after the rove, but we go after the mukzak. And the other way will be true also. If the case where the buyer already gave over money, and the seller hasn't presented him with any materials yet, so he says, bring me a chavit, and then the lokeach, the buyer, gives him money, and then the seller comes up and says, listen, I'm going to give you a kad, because when I said the word chavit, I meant kad, and therefore I can hand it over to you. Now, Tosfos points out that this happens to be machlokas between Rav and Shmuel throughout Shas, whether b'mamon, when it comes to monetary matters, are we holchim achar arov? So how come over here that the Gemara concludes, just simply, kamash malon, that ain't holchim achar harov when it comes to mamon? Rav, throughout Shas, says that we are holchim achar b'mamon achar arov. So why should it be different over here? So Tosfos says that even Rav will agree over here that we go after the rov when it comes to mamon. And he draws a distinction. He says, depends who's making the claim. Over here, when it comes to the individual who's making the claim, he's making a claim about himself. He is saying, listen, when I said the word chavit, I meant what you call a kad. Or when you said the word kad, I meant the word chavit, because he's describing himself. When the buyer says, listen, when we made this deal, I was thinking barrel, and I'm not going to pay you money until you show up with a barrel. Or the seller, in the case where the seller has the upper hand, where the buyer already paid money, right? And then the seller says, listen, when you paid money, even though we said the word chavit, I really meant kad, because he's making a declaration, he's making an assumption about himself. He says, fine, the rove is that way, but I know about myself that this is what I meant, and that he can do. And over there, we don't say holchim achar rov b'mamon. When do we say holchim achar rov b'mamon? That's when a person is making a declaration about someone else. So what's a case like that? For instance, a person who sells a shor to someone else. They sell an ox to another individual. And then it turns out that this person, most people, when they buy oxen to plow their fields. Instead, this person gave him a goring ox, a wild ox that can't be really used for plowing. It can only be used for shechita. I mean, you expect if you kill it right away, then it'll be fine. But if you have to keep hang on to this wild ox, it's going to be very difficult for him. So the person can't come along and say, here, listen, you know, we have a, I when I sell you a shor, I hadn't thought that you really wanted your shor to buy it for meat. I didn't think you wanted to plow for it. No, over there, Rav says, holchim achar rov. Rove people, when they buy a shor for this, they buy it for plowing. And therefore, we're going to determine it, because the seller over here can't come along and say, I know this other guy really wanted it for meat. He didn't want it for plowing. That you can't do. You can't make a declaration about someone else's feelings or how someone else views the world. There, we're going to always say that you go after the rove. But over here, when a person is making a declaration about their own feelings or their own way that they view the world, there, even Rav agrees that we don't go after the rove, but we rather go after the statement of the individual. What one could ask over here is, why don't we just see how much money he gave? Obviously, a kad is smaller than a chavit. Let's look at the money, and we look at the money, we'll know whether he gave him whether you bought a kad or whether you bought a chavit. I mean, it should be very easy to determine. So Tosfos gives one of two answers. Either the price of a kad and a chavit are so close that it's indeterminable, meaning that if you price one a little higher, one a little lower, it would cross over in pricing, and therefore it's not clear from the pricing. Or the other instance is where he gives him a large sum of money. He says, listen, give me... He says, I'm selling you kadim or chaviot that are worth 200 zuz. So there we don't know. I mean, the price is not setting the value of the items that he's receiving, but rather selling the category. He says, give me 200 zuz of kadim, 200 zuz of chaviot. So there we can't determine from the money what he's selling him, because the number will be determined whether it's a kad or a chavit, not by the money that's given over here. All right, now continuing in the Gemara, it says, ba'acher v'nitzkal ba'vishavra patur. Over here, when he trips over the item and then he breaks it, he is patur. Tosfos points out over here that the Gemara only asks about this case. It only asks about the case is, why is he patur when he trips over it and he lands on the item? On the other hand, when it comes to him getting damaged by the item, the Gemara doesn't ask, why is the person who left the cat out there chayav. And Tosfos established this principle back on Daf Chav Gimel, but that in general, that a person has to yoter lishmor shlo yazik, mishlo yuzak. A person has to be much more careful not to cause damage to others than protect himself from becoming damaged. So over here, if a person has to prevent themselves from causing damage, why is he patur over here when he trips over the barrel and he causes damage to someone else's barrel? If he became damaged, we say there's a lesser threshold over there because he doesn't have to be as careful about not getting damaged, but when it causing damage, he has to be much more careful. So Gemara says, am I patur? He should have been much more careful. When he's walking, he should look where he's going and make sure that, right, he doesn't trip over something. It's a case where the chaviot were stretched across the entire Rishut Rabim. So there was no way for him to get through without going over one of these barrels. We're talking about at nighttime where he couldn't see it. There was no way to expect him to see it because it was nighttime. Rabbi Yochanan Mar Bekeren Zavit, it was on a corner. He put the barrel was around the corner, so we can't have an expectation of a person that he's going to see it. As he comes around the corner, he tripped right over it. He wasn't looking in that direction because he was coming around the corner. So Amra Papa, Lo Dekem Matnitanella Oka Shmuel Oka Rabbi Yochanan. Our Mishnah sounds works well, or according to Shmuel, or according to Rabbi Yochanan. The Ika Rav, because if we try to explain Rav in our Mishnah, my Arya Nitkal. What's the issue of tripping? Our Mishnah says that he's walking along and he trips over the barrel and then he's patur if he damages the barrel. The case the Rav set up, the barrels are stretched across the entire Rishut HaRabim. If that's the case, then you have a right to walk in the Rishut HaRabim. If he puts his barrels all the way across, you can break them. Why do you have to, what do you mean, trip over them? You can kick them and break them. Afilu shover nami, if you break them, you're entitled to clear a path for you to get out. So Amar Rav Zvid, Mishmei Derava, Hu Adin, Afilu shover, you're right. In Ochanami, according to Rav, you're entitled to break it. So why did our Mishnah use Nitkal? Haidiktani Nitkal, I did it by the Mitnei Seifa. That's because of the later half of the Mishnah. Later half of the Mishnah says, Im Huzakba, if you're damaged by the barrel, then Balachavit Chayav. In that case, the Balachavit is Chayav Benizko, and the damage caused to you. That's Davka Nitkal. That's if you tripped over it by accident, and then you got damaged by it, then the Balha Kad or Bala Chavita is left out there is Chayav for the damage that he caused you. On the other hand, Aval Shavar, but if you kick the barrel to get out of your way and you hurt yourself by kicking it, lo, then you're not, he's not culpable. He doesn't have to pay for that. Why? My Tamahuda Azekanafshe. You caused the problem for yourself. By kicking this barrel, you caused damage to yourself, and that's your problem. So therefore, it says Katani Reisha Nitkal. The Seifa has to be a case of Nitkal, because the only time he's responsible to pay for damage that happens to you is when you tripped. So the Reisha also, even though in the Reisha it could be a case when you break it, your patur, both when you trip over it or when you kick it intentionally, nevertheless, it used the word Nitkal to have parallel structure in the Mishnah. So Amalei Rav Abba the Rav Ashi, Hachi Amrei B'marava Mishmei the Rabbi Ula. So this, Rav Abba says to Rav Ashi, this is what they say in Eretz Yisrael. Mishmei, here the Gemara says Rabbi Ula. We don't find that Ula is modified by Rabbi in the Gemara. So there's another Gersa who says Rabbi Eli, because it either should be Ula or Rabbi Eli. So Lefi, this is another answer for why in our Mishnah he's Patur. Lefi she'en darkan shubnei Adam litzponein b'derachim. It's not the normal way for people to look where they are going. Meaning that before, the underlying assumption of the Gemara is that you're patur, because a person should be looking where he is going. On the other hand, over here, Rav Ashi says, it's not the case. When a person walks down the street, right, that's not, ain't darkam shubana adonit bonayim b'drachim, they don't have to look where they are going along. Now, we do have a machlok is coming up in the Gemara, whether nitkal posher or nitkal onis. When someone trips, are they considered a posher? Are they negligent? Or when they nitkal, when they trip, are they an onis? That's accidental, and we don't hold them culpable in those cases. The Tosafot points out that those cases, when we say nitkal, the machlok is nitkal posher, nitkal onis, is in a case where they trip over themselves, when a person trips himself. I mean, not that there's an object in Rishut HaRabim that tripped him, but rather, he just trips. So in that case, we have a machlok is posher onis. Over here, in our case over here, everybody's going to agree that he's tripping over something else. When he's tripping over something else, it's irrelevant whether generally an itkal, a person who trips, is a posher or an ones, because there's another object that caused him to trip over here. What will we determine over here is whether a person has to be looking where he's going. So in this case, right, the first three answers that we got was an instance where we said that all three of them believed Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan all believed, Rabbi Yochanan believed that you have to look where you're going, and therefore when you trip over it, you would be responsible. But the circumstances here were different in a situation where you couldn't have looked out for it either because it was dark, or because they stretched across all the Rishut HaRabim, or it was a Keren Zavit. Whereas Rabbi Abba brings from Eretz Yisrael a different answer, which is that a person does not have to look where they're going, in a sense that a person doesn't have to expect barrels to be laying out in the Rishut HaRabim. When he trips over that, he is really an ones. But Tosafot says, we know, we have a principle we just established at the end of the last parak and many other places, that an adam is chayav even when he is an ones. So why over here are you going to be patur just because it's not the derech to be nitonein bidrachim? Why should be Adam ba'ones is still chayav? So Tosfos makes a distinction and says that's not the case. Adam who's truly an ones, someone who's really a true ones, Rachmana Patre, the Torah says you are patur. And how do we know what type of ones are you patur for and what type of ones are you chayav for? Tosfos says we're going to go look at the shomrim. We can be a doctor that Adam Mazik, that's patur mi ones, is when the ones is ke'en geneva. It's like by a shomer that has something that's stolen from him. In that case, he's purely an ones. That's a geneva. When it looks like that, when it's pure, pure ones, like this case over here, where he wasn't supposed to look where he's going, somebody left something on the shooter by him, he falls over and lands on it and breaks it, that was totally an ones. On the other hand, by shomer, we also have another category called aveda, when it was lost. When you lose something, yeah, true, it was an accident, but it's an accident that is a little, could have been a little more prevented. It's more closer to pshia than an ones. It has a little touch of pshia on it because you should have been more careful not to lose it. So even though by aveda you're patur, that type of ones, you would be chayav when it comes to Adam HaMazik. It's a very important distinction that Tosfos draws over here in ones. Adam, when we say he's mu'ad bi'olam, he's always responsible, even in cases of ones, that depends on what type of ones. If it's an ones that's really ones, meaning like Gneva, where you couldn't control it, there was nothing you could have done, in that case you will be patur, even Adam HaMazik. On the other hand, if it's ones, which could have been prevented, had a little tinge of pshia to it, like aveda by a shomer, then in that case, Adam HaMazik, if he's classified in that form of ones, he will be chayav, because Adam is mu'ad bi'olam. So have a uvda bin Arda, there was a case in Arda, v'chayev Shmuel. And Shmuel in his city of Nardar, he paskin like himself, that you are chayav. Why? Because Shmuel says here, the reason in our mission you're patur is because it happened at night. If it wasn't at night during the daytime, you would be responsible for the barrel. So therefore, he's mechayev, the person who fell over and broke the barrel. But Pumbedita, mechayev Rabba. There was a case like this in Pumbedita, and Rabba was mechayev, right? So what? Why was Rabba mechayev? Bishlam or Shmuel kishmatate. We know Shmuel is holding like this because Shmatate, like what we learned in his din before, that he believes that when you trip, you should have been looking out where you were going, you should have seen what was happening, and when you break it, you're responsible. At night, where you can't see it, then you'll be potur. Rava, what's the reasoning behind Rava's psak? Lema kishmuel severely. Maybe he holds like Shmuel. So when I says, no, Amra Papa, no, this is an unusual case here. Karno de Astrahavli. This was near the Beit Abad, near the olive press. They gave in the Bishutka Avdei, Ibaila the Une Mezil. There was a social contract that it was a known thing that everybody used to bring their barrels of olives to the press to have them pressed. But many times there was a backup. There was a line outside to get into the press. So when there was a line in the press, there was a given or was understood by everyone that people left to keep their place online or to leave their barrels. They used to leave their barrels along the Shutra Abim outside the Beit Abad. And since that's a well-known fact or a well-known procedure that people leave their barrels outside when they're waiting online for the Beit Abad, then a person walking in that area should be aware or should make himself aware of the fact that there could be barrels here. So when he trips over them, it's his responsibility if he breaks it because he should have been considerate, even though in general maybe he doesn't have to be considerate or consider that possibility. In this instance, he should have because the circumstances dictate that in this case there might be something out in the Reshut Arvim. So Shalach Le Rav Chista Rav Nachman. So Rav Chista sent a din to Rav Nachman. Hare Amru Lirkova Shalosh, Ulevita, Chamesh, Ulisnokeret, Shloshesre. So over here we're talking about a knas. We're talking about fines. This is fines for boshet, for the embarrassment that someone causes to another individual by the way that they hit them. So in a case where it's lirkova, in a case where the person kicked them with their foot, but kicked them with the heel of their foot, then you pay shalosh, you pay three slaim. But levita, if you kick with the whole leg, then chamesh slaim, you pay five. That's a more embarrassing way to do it. Ulis no carrot, which is if you take the saddle of the donkey and you whack the friend with it, shloshes rate, then you pay 13. So there is a gradation of busha that's created over here. The question of what this standard is for, Tosfos brings down actually two possibilities. One is that this is the minimum amount. This is for anishu b'Yisrael. This is for a poor person. But if a person is wealthier, or a person has more kavod associated with them, then the busha, the cost of the busha would be even higher. The Ri, on the other hand, says no, that this is the maximum. This is the amount for an ashir, for a person who is mukhubad. This is the amount. For anybody else, it would be less than this amount. Either way, we're talking about kenas over here. So you have a chista now asking Rav Nachman, we know that this is the scheduled payments for busha. What happens the panda demara when you have a hoe, the railing, the stick or the handle of a hoe, or the kupina demara, or the metal point which actually attaches into the hoe itself? If a person hit with that, how much would they pay for the boshet of doing something like that? So my, what's the din? Shoshalech le, so Rav Nachman sends back to mechista chista. Wait a minute, what type of case is this? Kanso kamagavit v'bavel? We know that in Bavel, the courts do not adjudicate dinim of knas. they only adjudicate the inim of mamon. Because when we say you need to have, in order to have courts, in general we have to say elukim, you need smicha. Smicha was only present in Eretz Yisrael, not in Bavel. So therefore, if the courts in Bavel want to do something, they only can do it b'shlichut to avdina. Then they do the messengers, or they do the shlichut of those courts that are in Eretz Yisrael. They're only entitled to do shlichut when it comes to dinei mamon, but not to dinei knas. Tosus over here actually makes an important distinction that's not true of all knas. When do we say that they can't be done a din of knas? They can't be done a din of knas is when there's no chisaron kis. I mean, when there's no monetary loss to the individual. Busha is an intangible item. Over there, they can't collect knas. But when it comes to a knas that involves loss of money, then we say anything that has to deal with loss of money, then we say the people in Bavel are entitled to dan, because then it becomes a monetary issue, not simply an issue of knas. So he says, Emily gufudovdahechava. Tell me what the case is, because obviously this is a strange case. Shalchle dau garguta. The bay tray. There was a watering hole that belonged to two people. They used to feed their fields out of it, and they had a deal. Each day, one of them would take a turn. Meaning that alternating days was your turn to take the water out of there. One of the individuals, one of the partners, came along and started to draw water on a day that wasn't his. He says to the individual, the one whose turn it is, or his day it really is, comes over to the individual who's drawing the water on the wrong day and says, listen, it's not your day. So he didn't listen to him. Shokal panda demara, he takes the handle of the hoe, machia, and hit him. So Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman sends back to Rav Chista, mea pande, bapanda, le machia. He says, this person, he could take 100 times, he could take a handle and whack him on the head. Why? I feel him under my lo avidin ishtin and the napshe, even according to the one who says, we're going to see in a second in tomorrow's daf, what? That there's a machlokas, whether a person can take the law into his own hands. So here, even according to the one who says in general, one may not take the law into his own hands, makom seda of it inish den in an apshe. When there's directed loss, when there's loss here that's immediate and not rectifiable, then we will allow him to take the din into his own hands. What is the pseda? What does it mean by makom seda over here? Rashi brings two possibilities. Either, if he goes to Beis Din, by the time goes to Beis Din, and then he comes, and this guy's drawing water all the time, he won't know how much water he's taken. Meaning that the loss will be that he can't definitively declare how much water this individual has taken. So he must take the din into his own hands, because by going to Beis Din, he will lose out. Or the other possibility is that maybe he'll use up all the water in the bor. I mean, this guy will take all the water. So, yeah, true, he could take it to Beis Din and he'll get paid for it. But in the meantime, he needs the water. And the water won't be there because this person is drawing from the water. Okay, we will stop over here.